College Basketball Insider.
Some news and notes from around the world of college basketball.
In studio correspondent for WFAN and CBS Sports Radio.
Attention, please, to John Rothstein. Please report to St. Joe's.
The Insider's Insider.
Joining us now with his thoughts and to break it down, John Rothstein.
It's College Hoops Today with John Rothstein.
Let's put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner. John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast, where we will dissect, digest, and offer some perspective on the world of college hoops. We're going to hear from SMU head coach Larry Brown in his first extended interview since returning from a 9-game NCAA suspension. We also want you to check us out on iTunes and let us know what you think of what we're doing right here on the College Hoops Today podcast. We will be with you 52 weeks out of the calendar year, but right now there's a couple of things that are piquing my curiosity.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. John's five questions.
Question number one, is the parity in college basketball as great as it's ever been? There's no doubt about it. Think about this for a second. Ohio State lost at home this season to both UT Arlington and Louisiana Tech, and it dominated Kentucky from tip to finish on Saturday at the Barclays Center. Another thing you have to look at, St. John's beat Syracuse at Madison Square Garden a couple of Sundays ago. It has since lost back-to-back games to Incarnate Word and NJIT. In 2014, we saw a 7 seed in Connecticut beat an 8 seed in Kentucky for the national championship in the national title game. I think we could be seeing something similar coming up in early April of 2016. Question number two, who impressed the most over the weekend? There were tons of great games throughout college basketball, but the team that separated itself from the pack was the Butler Bulldog. Chris Holtmann, and I wrote about this on Monday for CBSSports.com, has done an unbelievable job adjusting to his personnel. Last year, Butler was a team that liked to grind things out and win games in the mud. This year, thanks to the addition of NC State transfer Tyler Lewis, the Bulldogs are using their offense and they're using it the highest of levels. Butler right now averaging 90 points a game, 21 more than it did last season. They handed the Boilermakers their first loss on Saturday in the Crossroads Classic. Question number three, which ACC program is hitting its stride? The Virginia Cavaliers, and that's bad news for the rest of the ACC. Since losing to George Washington, Virginia has won 8 straight games by an average of 17.6 points per game. Tony Bennett has altered his lineup. He is now going with Isaiah Wilkins and, of course, Anthony Gill up front. He is opting to bring Mike Toby off the bench a little bit. It is giving Virginia more flexibility on both sides of the ball. And one guy you have to look at for Virginia as being a critical piece, that's Devin Hall. Devin Hall, when he comes into the game, allows London Parentis to slide off the ball and be more of an offensive focal point. That's what happened against West Virginia in the Jimmy V Classic. And when Parentis scores the ball for like he needs to for Virginia, the Cavaliers look like a team that has a legitimate chance to win its third consecutive ACC regular season title. Question number four, did Indiana turn a quarter on Saturday? I wouldn't say that, but the Hoosiers got a monumental come-from-behind victory against Notre Dame. Indiana ended the game on a 17-2 run thanks to some unbelievable plays from Troy Williams. You still have major defensive concerns when you watched Indiana, but the Hoosiers did look better against Notre Dame in a zone versus man-to-man as Tom Crean opted to play more zone down the stretch of that game. Indiana has one bye game left before Big Ten play. They should enter conference play with a 10-3 record, and look at the Hoosiers' first 9 Big Ten games. At Rutgers, at Nebraska, home to Wisconsin, home to Ohio State, at Minnesota, home to Illinois, home to Northwestern, at Wisconsin, and home to Minnesota. Indiana will step on the floor and be the more talented team in all 9 of those games. Question number 5. How good was Cincinnati's defense on Saturday against VCU's Melvin Johnson? the best I've seen this season. Melvin Johnson came into that game against Cincinnati averaging 19.5 points per game. The Bearcats held him to just 2 points and zero made field goals on his home floor. That is what you call stellar. Cincinnati is one of the elite teams in the American Conference, and another team that is elite in the American Conference is SMU. And their head coach, Larry Brown, will join us next in his first long-form interview since returning from NCAA suspension. This is the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We'd love to welcome a new sponsor to the show, All in Sundry, a modern men's shoe company with an old world vision. My friend Nick and his team make the finest handcrafted custom shoes, shoes your grandfather would be proud of. All in Sundry creates a unique experience where you select your style of shoe, whether for work or play. Then you choose the material, add custom features like eye stays, and then select a color. They source all the materials and build each one by hand. Without a middleman, you get the savings. No more outrageous markups. If you're a shoe guy, All in Sundry is for you. If you're not, you might change your mind after seeing All in Sundry. Right now, get a 10% discount on a gift card for the holidays. Visit allinsundry.com and enter the promo code DEAL at checkout. That's allinsundry.com, A-W-L, and then enter DEAL at checkout. All in Sundry, stylish and modern shoes with a craftsmanship a grandfather would be proud of. Again, allinsundry.com and enter code DEAL. All right, John Rothstein back here on the College Hoops Today podcast. SMU is currently 9-0 this season. The Ponies will partake in the Las Vegas Classic this week. They begin the event against Kent State and then play the winner of Colorado or Penn State. And Larry Brown is back this week from a 9-game suspension, and Coach is on the line right now. And Coach, you know, the video of you returning to see your team last Thursday night after their game in the locker room has really been buzzing throughout the internet. What was it like when you made that type of triumphant return to see your guys?
I don't know how triumphant it was. Those 33 days were pretty tough, except for the fact that, you know, Tim and the staff did such a great job, and, you know, our players handled it, you know, really about as well as you could ever imagine. And then, you know, listening to the people that were reporting about our game and our team, that was awesome because, you know, these kids have moved on and, you know, showed a lot of class, I think, in the way they handle everything. So that was fun. But then when I walked in, I was completely taken by surprise, and obviously it made me feel great to be back.
You know, it's one thing, Coach, to be suspended just from the games, but it's another to not be able to have contact with your team or your staff. How much harder did that make things to take?
That was really, really tough, John, because, you know, Marcus Kennedy gets hurt, Keith gets hurt. We got one young freshman that hadn't been playing, and, you know, his family was real concerned. And I came back to Dallas, you know, trying to get permission so I could talk to these kids and their parents. And it was really tough for anybody to understand that, you know, you're more than just a coach.
Mm-hmm.
And you see how they play the right way, and you hear all the nice things said about them, and, you know, how they've handled this thing. Me being out was really a small thing. You know, I get the idea of these penalties. I was ready to move on, but, you know, the thing that really made these 33 days go by was the fact that our kids and our coaches really did an unbelievable job.
You know, Coach, you're a lifer. You live to be in the gym. I'm curious, how'd you fill the time during the suspension? What did you do?
Well, I got to spend time with my family over the Thanksgiving holidays, which never happens, which was great. I got to see my grandkids, you know, even that was amazing, which very rarely happens, you know, during the season unless they come out to watch us play. And then I watched as much basketball as I could so I could kind of learn. I didn't want to, you know, I had planned, I was invited to a lot of places to go, you know, sit in on practices and stuff like that, but I didn't want to impose on anybody and be in a distraction. So basically, I listened to guys like you and watched as much as I could and try to learn as much as I could.
SMU's Larry Brown joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Ponies are 9-0. They will compete first with Kent State in the Las Vegas Classic this week in Cincinnati. Coach Brown back on the bench. And, Coach, you know, anybody that's been in any business for a long time has had their share of difficult things to deal with. Where does this suspension rank on the list of the difficult things you've had to deal with at any level throughout your career in basketball?
Well, the suspension is something I can handle. Because obviously when your program does something wrong and they got these new penalties imposed, you know, somebody has to be held accountable and then, you know, that's my responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
But the hardest thing was all this misinformation that came out, and the way the NCAA, you know, once they made the decision, the way they came out publicly and said their reasonings for it. I didn't appreciate that, but hey, that's all behind me now. The only thing I got to do is figure out a way I don't mess our team up. And I get up to speed on what Tim, you know, was trying to do. Cause the last thing I wanted to do, I coached up to the last practice, but I told him to be the coach. Don't worry about me. You know, coach the team the way you feel comfortable. And so I got to be real careful how this transition plays out. And I want to get up to speed and follow through and with what we want to do and what we want to accomplish. Obviously, our schedule is going to get real, real tough real quick. You know, Kent State's a really good team. Colorado might be the most underrated team in the country. They drilled us in a scrimmage. And then we start our conference, and, you know, the American Athletic Conference is really, really a good one. So we got a lot of work ahead. And then we haven't had any adversity, John, other than the fact that we're not allowed to go to the tournament.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want our kids to keep focusing on the next game and how we can get better. Because the support we've received has been amazing, and we just got to keep trying to grow and get better.
Did you have any second thoughts about appealing the NCAA's postseason ban since your team's 9-0 and you see what kind of team you have?
Well, you know, I think we all thought we wanted to do it, but it would have just dragged on and on and on, and you wouldn't have known the outcome. Even though at the end of the day, the penalty to me, you know, didn't fit the crime. But I just thought the sooner we got it over with and move forward, that was the way our president felt and our administration felt, and our kids talked about it. You know, if they would have imposed a penalty earlier, our seniors could have had the opportunity to transfer. You know, and then be eligible to play. But it came so late that option was out of the way. So we all talked it over, and I think everybody to a man felt the most important thing is let's accept the penalty. You know, we did something that wasn't right, and we have to accept that and then be ready to move forward because we got a lot of positive things happening around here. You know, we're having a good recruiting year. I think we're going to have a great one when all is said and done. We're trying to do all the right things. And from my perspective, you know, there were a lot of things I wanted to appeal that were based on me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but once we decided it wasn't right for the kids, I didn't think it would be fair for me to, you know, drag this thing out. So I'm hopeful this is all behind us, John, and we can just keep moving forward and make the American Conference proud of us and do the right things from here on out.
You know, you had mentioned your three seniors, Nick Moore, Marcus Kennedy, and Jordan Tolbert, who are in their last year of college, and they're all playing like all-league caliber players right now. What was it like when you had to tell those kids that they weren't going to be able to play in the postseason?
Well, first, we talked about appealing it because I think a lot of people didn't think the suspension was appropriate because, we did a lot of self-imposed penalties prior to that. When you think about what we were charged with, that was kind of a surprise when we saw that penalty. So at first we were talking about fighting it. And then they were okay. And then when we decided, hey, this is something we got to move on, that was the most difficult thing. But they've handled it great. A lot of NBA people have been to our practices, and their goal naturally is to finish strong and hopefully play at the next level. And they've set an unbelievable example. And life sometimes doesn't have all the things that we hope it to have happen, and there is some adversity. And I think as long as we can learn from it and grow with, because of it, it could be helpful. So they've handled it really, really well. And the only thing they're concerned with right now is to help our team be successful. And then, they've all played, like you said, at a very, very high level.
SMU's Larry Brown joining John Rothstein here on the College Hoops Today podcast. Ponies 9-0 will start the Las Vegas Classic this week against Kent State and then play the winner of Penn State and Colorado. Coach Brown will make his return to the sidelines in Sin City. Coach, this type of situation can take somebody one way or the other. It can make them so disgusted and frustrated that they want to walk away, or it can rejuvenate them to move forward. As you return, and I'm sure you had a lot of time to think during your absence from the program, how do you feel right now, not just about coaching at SMU, but coaching in college moving forward?
That's a great question. Nobody's ever asked me that, but I love what I do, John. I love being around our players and our staff. I really like being at SMU and in this environment. It's pretty extraordinary when you think about how the administration stuck by me and how our kids have received me. So, I'm going to be able to handle it. If I didn't handle it well, it would set a terrible message for our kids. And that's the last thing I want to do, but I love what I do. I feel pretty lucky that I've had this opportunity, and I'm going to get through it. It's only going to make me better. That's the way I feel. And like I said, we came to SMU to try to build a program, and I really believe we're trying to do the things the right way. People might not perceive it that way, but they really don't matter. So I'm motivated to help Tim and help our kids. And that's the only thing I'm looking at right now. It's a privilege to coach, and I get it. And I'm going to handle it that way.
Last year you had a team that looked like a Sweet 16 team, and you lost, obviously, a very difficult game to UCLA. You have another talented team this year, but you're going to lose three talented seniors, as we've discussed. Do you think after all this, you're still capable to put together a program moving forward the next 3 to 5 years that can compete for conference championships, be a top 25 team, go deep in the tournament? Is that realistic, do you think?
Well, obviously, we're losing three great players, but we've already gotten commitments from two terrific kids. We got Shimmy, who's going to sit out this year, and he'll have 2 years left, and he's an unbelievable young talent, and I think he's going to be great. And we got 4, 5, 6 kids that I think we're pretty close to getting, so there's no reason. We have a great junior class, and we have three really good young freshmen. So I don't see any reason why this school has a lot to offer. This conference is so very underrated, and these kids have been through a lot. John, we think about it. 2 years ago, we beat it. a bunch of top 10 teams and won a lot of games, didn't get in the tournament, and everybody felt we were slighted. And they overcame that. And we came back and, you know, ended up winning our conference and then winning our conference tournament. And then, lo and behold, we get a sixth seed,
right,
which, nobody felt was really fair. And then you obviously know what happened to us in the UCLA game. That was a really, really difficult way to lose that game. And the kids overcame that. And then now, we get put on NCAA probation, and they take away the opportunity to go to the tournament. And you've seen how they've handled that. And in my mind, that just shows the character, the kids we have, and the potential for us to move forward no matter what the adversity is. And I'm confident we're going to be a factor for a long time.
Coach, it's interesting. You had some comments last week about what's going on with the Philadelphia 76ers, a franchise that I know is near and dear to your heart because of the time you spent in Philadelphia. Does the situation that you just went through make you miss the NBA, even though you haven't been in it in a couple of years, because the NBA was just basketball and there's not maybe the day-to-day minutia that you have to deal with in college basketball?
Well, if you'd asked me after meeting before the NCAA committee and then waiting 15 weeks when, the decision could have been made in 8 weeks, and then, what our penalty was, I'd jump to the NBA in a second. My comments really came about Dolph Schayes, passing, and the one thing I said, and I meant it in my heart, it was just the last thing I probably said, is that, I could straighten that out in 5 minutes, and I really believe I can.
Mm-hmm.
And then the primary reason was, you mentioned, I love Philly, I love the Sixers, but I wanted them to think about getting Allen back.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these NBA franchises have rewarded guys that have meant a lot to their team and the team that they played on and had such an unbelievable investment. And I also felt that, when you look at such a young team like Philly, veteran leadership is something that no coach can give. And I look at Minnesota, you have Garnett and you have Miller and you have Tayshaun Prince. These kids mentoring these young players. I just know how people feel about Allen. A lot of people can say Allen made mistakes and stuff like that, but he's grown up a lot. He's come and talked to our team, and I just wanted him to get involved, and I felt he could help. That was really the essence of what I said. And that, like everything, a lot of people want to pick up on certain things. Like, when we went on probation, John, a lot of people, put out a lot of misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Vitale just went off on a tangent without even talking to me. And Jay Billis went to a lot of pain to try to investigate and find out what actually happened and, what has happened in my past. So, but unfortunately, people that don't work hard don't look into those things or write things like that. But the obvious thing about answering your questions, I love Philly. I want to see him do well. And I'm really hopeful that Allen could get involved because he had an unbelievable impact on my life. And I think it'd be a wonderful thing for him.
All right, well, final thing here for me, Coach. You return to coach a really good team that can't play in the NCAA tournament or the American Conference tournament. What is the message going to be in your program every day about the goals you have for this season, and how do you get college kids to buy into those goals if they know they can't play past the first week in March?
Well, Kevin Ollie did an unbelievable job at that a few years ago, and the next year the team came back and won the national championship. It's just something that, we got to be there for our kids. We got to motivate them every day. And we got to understand and make them understand it is a privilege to play in college. And there are times you can't achieve all the goals you set out to do, but being competitive in the American Conference is something that I think is worth practicing for and playing every day. And there's a lot of life after basketball for these kids, and you know, hopefully we can learn some lessons by this. I think they've done an amazing job so far. So my goal is to go to practice and support Tim and to help our kids improve, and then to, you know, make sure that our goal someday is to win a national championship. And every single day from this day forward, we're building on that. So we'll see. My biggest challenge right now, John, is not to screw things up.
Right.
You know, and support Tim and get up to speed in that regard.
Well, Coach, we appreciate you giving us a couple of minutes. Looking forward to watching your team continue to evolve. Happy holidays, and we wish you all the best moving forward, you know, in 2016 as you get set to compete in the American Conference.
Thanks so much, John. Take care.
You got it. It's SMU head coach Larry Brown. We will return after this on the College Hoops Today podcast. SeatGeek is so easy to use and completely different from other ticket sites. SeatGeek pulls the ticket data from all those other ticket sales sites into one place to save you time. The best part is it shows you the full price of the ticket up front, never hides any fees, and usually has lower prices than other ticket sites and is backed by a 100% guarantee. My listeners get a $20 rebate off their first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 ticket rebate, download the free SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab and click add a promo code. Enter promo code HOOPS. SeatGeek will send you $20 once you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app. Enter promo code HOOPS today. Welcome back to the College Hoops Today podcast with John Rothstein. We would like to thank SMU's Larry Brown for joining our program. And again, we want to hear from you and what you think about what we're doing here on the College Hoops Today podcast on iTunes. So check us out. Let us know what you think. But right now, I think it's time to go through some nuggets.
Five good nuggets.
Five.
Six.
No, five. But you were close.
Nugget number one. Live by the bomb. Villanova took 26 three-point shots and 27 two-point shots in Saturday's loss at Virginia. Are the Cats relying on the long ball too much? You can make the argument that they are. I still think that Villanova needs to get more at the rim, but I'm not sure if the guards on this Villanova team, Booth, RC Diakono, and Brunson, are as adept at getting to the rim as some of the other Wildcat guard tandems and trios that we've seen in the past. That's something to monitor. Number two, always accurate. Texas A&M's Tyler Davis is 11 of 11 from the field in his last two games. He's only a freshman, and the refreshing thing about Davis, he's a five-man who knows he's a five-man. So often, we see guys with great size want to be threes or even stretch fours. Davis is a center. He knows he's a center. He's one of the main reasons why the Aggies have a chance to win the SEC. Nugget number three, the Big 12 has no bottom. What do I mean by that? Texas Tech and Kansas State, two teams that, again, people thought were going to be down this year, have a combined 16-3 record so far this season, and their three losses, Utah, North Carolina, and Texas A&M. You think Bruce Weber and Tubby Smith can coach a little bit? Remember, Smith won a national championship at Kentucky in 1998. Weber led Illinois to the 2005 national title game. And speaking of the Illini, we have two hidden Illini in nugget number four. Despite Illinois' injuries, John Gross's team still has two all-Big Ten caliber players in Malcolm Hill and Kendrick Nunn. Both players are averaging better than 18 points and 4 rebounds per game. And again, how bad has it been injury-wise for Illinois? This program may have to redshirt its projected starting point guard, power forward, and center in Tracy Abrams, LaRon Black, and Mike Thorne. I have never seen anything like that in all my years covering the sport. Nugget number five, Elite Felder. That's Kay Felder from Oakland. The 5'9 guard has scored over 20 points in every game this season. He had 38 points, 9 assists, and 6 rebounds in Saturday's win at Washington. And after the game, Huskies coach Lorenzo Romar compared him to Isaiah Thomas, who's playing for the Boston Celtics. Oakland will play Michigan State Tuesday night in Auburn Hills at the Palace. Again, I have learned from industry sources that we are going to see a sellout for this game. And I also learned that the Pistons didn't even sell out this year when they entertained the Cleveland Cavaliers with LeBron James. That is the type of buzz that we're going to see tonight when Oakland plays against Michigan State. That's a Tuesday night game. And look, everybody has anointed Valparaiso as the team to beat in the Horizon League because of Kay Felder and because of the transfers that Greg Campy has brought to Oakland, who started at high major programs like Sharon Dorsey Walker and also Percy Gibson from Iowa State, like Max Hooper from St. John's, and also like Martez Walker from Texas. Oakland could be a team that could be a bracket buster come March. Again, we're going to go to the social media type portion of our program right now. We want you to hit us up on Twitter throughout the week, but of course, when we do this at the start of the week, I'm at John Rothstein. That's JonRothstein. Question number one, how many bids do you see the American getting this year past UConn and Cincinnati? For me, I don't see any right now. I think SMU is the best team in this league, but obviously, as we've talked about throughout this podcast, the Ponies cannot be in a situation where they're going to play in either the American Conference Tournament or the NCAA Tournament, so I think right now, this is a two-bid league. Another question, why is Pittsburgh not ranked? Well, Pittsburgh had a very impressive win over Davidson on Sunday at Madison Square Garden, but to get into the top 25, you have to have wins that are going to move the needle. The only real opportunity that the Panthers had for that was against Purdue in the ACC Big Ten Challenge, and Purdue obviously had its way with the Panthers when they played at the Peterson Event Center. Our final question right now for our social media portion of the podcast. This one's from Michael Murray. Is Seton Hall a legitimate threat in the Big East, given another fast start? I am not going to jump to those conclusions because we saw Seton Hall start out like a house of fire last year. They beat St. John's and Villanova out of the gate in Big East play, and then they continued to stub their toe throughout conference play. So you have to take a wait-and-see approach when you're evaluating the Pirates. Now, it's the holiday time, but that does not mean that college basketball is slowing down. Let's tell you what to DVR this week in college hoops.
Games to watch. Games to watch.
Tuesday night is a loaded slate of games to watch. Iowa State is at Cincinnati. That's the start of a home-and-home series. Great contrast in styles. Cal is at Virginia. The Bears have lack toughness. They will need it when they go on the road in Charlottesville. Vanderbilt against Purdue. How do the doors stack up on the interior with Purdue's size inside? Remember, Luke Kornet not playing for Vanderbilt because of an injury. I'm not sure how much in reserve Kevin Stallings has against Haas, Hammonds, and of course Caleb Swanigan. And then Kansas's first true road game of the season Tuesday night, 11 o'clock Eastern tip on CBS Sports Network. They will be at San Diego State. San Diego State needs this win to put some air in its tires. The Aztecs this season have already lost home games to Grand Canyon and, of course, Arkansas Little Rock, as well as a neutral site game against San Diego. The common theme in all of those three games, the Aztecs didn't score more than 48 points. And, of course, Saturday, the heavyweight matchup with all the trimmings, Kentucky, Louisville, Calipari, Patino. No Mango Mathiang for Louisville. Kentucky coming off that disappointing loss to Ohio State, but there is nothing like Kentucky and Louisville, especially when the two guys on the sidelines are Calipari and Patino. We would like to thank SMU's Larry Brown for joining the podcast. We'd like to wish everybody out there listening a safe and happy holiday season. We will be back, same bat time, same bat channel next week. This is John Rothstein. Thanks for listening to the College Hoops Today podcast.